It's great to see so many of you here. Thanks ever so much for having me, Peter. So, everything I know about recording Reaper in an hour and a half. Let's go. No pressure or anything from the people who said they were looking forward to learning a lot. Let's hope that that does actually transpire. A brief shout out to Steve, who we heard introduce himself a couple of minutes ago, Steve Hyde Dryden. If you guys don't like this presentation, if you have any complaints, you want to take them straight to his door, because it's because of him that I got involved with this list, and it's because of him that I'm here now. So my name's Justin McLeod. I am a sound designer. I've been involved in sound design for 20 years. I also do music on a semi-professional basis, and I also do teaching. I teach sound design, I teach mixing, and most importantly for this presentation, I teach the one-to-one nuts and bolts of Reaper at a pace to suit the student, basically. So if any of you are interested in taking this further, if we don't get time to cover the things that you would like to cover or you'd like to cover them in more detail, I'd really be delighted to help you further. It's great to see so many novices here, so many people just dipping their toes. And yeah, hopefully we can tell you a lot. If anybody has any questions or if there's any problems with my audio, just raise your hand, Peter, interrupt me, and we will try and address those as we go. And I guess that's the first thing that I want to say, particularly as there's so many people starting out here. You'll all have different setups. Most of your setups probably won't be as good as you want them to be in some way or other. You'll wish you had a better microphone. You'll wish you had better preamps. You'll wish you had more plugins. You'll wish you had the Frobble from Mobble Dobble 3086 that everyone's raving about on some audio forum, which you think is going to make your stuff better. Make the most of what you have. Always do that. And hopefully I'll have time to showcase how even a very humble setup can be used to great effect. There's, you know, a lot of stuff you can get done with digital technology. There's a YouTube channel where a guy makes professional quality sound effects using recordings from his iPhone. So this stuff is possible. The second thing I want to say, and which I will probably prove throughout the duration of this presentation, is that the more audio stuff you have, the more knobs you have to twiddle, the more wires you have to connect, the more likely it is that stuff will go wrong. So a simpler setup is sometimes best. So what is Reaper? Reaper is a multi-track environment. It is exceedingly powerful. Someone said they were looking for an accessible and affordable alternative. Reaper is definitely that. Costs $60 to buy from the manufacturers Kokos, but because of the current world situation, they are giving temporary licenses for free. So that's a good thing to help out people stay at home, be home producers and so on. You can use the software indefinitely on an evaluation basis. So you could argue from that point of view, it is free, but I heartily recommend you all to drop the $60 on it, especially as the developers are really proactive with accessibility problems. They've addressed some accessibility problems within the space of 24 hours. So I think it's really good to get behind them and help out where it's possible. So first, obviously, you need Reaper, whether you're going to be recording MIDI, you're going to be sequencing, whether you're going to be sound designing, whether you're going to be editing, whether you're going to be doing live music. A multi-track environment is a great way to record because you can organize everything neatly and handle it separately. To make Reaper work to its best accessible potential, you need two other things. You need SWS, which is an extension actually developed by sighted people for sighted people, but it does offer a lot of extra functionality to us as a blind user base. And you need Asara, developed by a guy called James Tay, who many of you may know as having been a prominent figure in the development of NVDA. He produced this extension called Asara, and that really makes Reaper go as we want it to go. It gives a standardized set of shortcut keys that we can all pull from, and that's really helpful because then if you write or WhatsApp one of the Reaper support communities, you can get help and they'll say, press this button and it'll work. So having the same shortcut keys to pull from is really helpful. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to root my speech so you guys can all hear it. We won't use eSpeak because eSpeak is hard on the ears, but it is really good at cutting through mixes. If you have a busy mix and you're trying to hear what you're doing, eSpeak's nasal voice is actually really good, and I would recommend it. As you know, just try it. It's a little less mushy than Eloquence and things like that.
Vocal so template.
There we go. There's my speech. So I'm going to open a new project. I'm actually talking through Reaper to you now. So I'm going to disappear for a minute. If Asara is installed, when you load Reaper and you press the cursor keys, you should hear the following.
Unsaved. One open folder, zero. Three tracks. No tracks. No tracks. No tracks. Unsaved. Vocal booth temp.
So that's what you should hear. You should hear no tracks when you press cursor up and cursor down because you're scrolling through those tracks. If it works, you should also be able to turn on a shortcut help mode by pressing F12.
Shortcut help on.
And then you can mash keys and find out whether the second vital component, well, the third, I suppose, vital component of Reaper is installed, SWS, by invoking an SWS action. And the one I always like to use is the one invoked by pressing Control-Alt-Space.
Zinakio/SWS. Play selected items once.
Play selected items once. That's an SWS action. If Control-Alt-Space doesn't say anything, you know that SWS isn't installed properly. If when you cursor up and cursor down, you don't get the feedback, no tracks, you know Asara isn't installed properly, and so you know to fix stuff.
Justin, can you just explain what is SWS? What's that component?
So SWS is an extension. So that's the part, that's the extension developed by sighted people for sighted people that helps us inadvertently. So you want to go to Google, you want to download three components. You want to Google Reaper, Audio Production Without Limits, that's their slogan. You want to Google Reaper SWS and you'll find the extension. You want to Google Reaper Asara, Osara. You download and install those three components, which do work for the Mac and PC. And there you go. There is a fourth component for you JAWS users out there, some JAWS scripts developed by the Snowman, some of you may know. And you just Google Reaper Snowman scripts and you will find them and some tips on what they do and install those and you will be all up and running, ready to use Reaper. So how does Reaper look? How does it work? And I think this is really important to moving forward, especially for those who aren't familiar with a multi-track environment. Whenever you open Reaper, there is a project. That project is a set of instructions that tells Reaper what to do with your media, what to do with your effects, which is how you change stuff. And along that project runs a timeline, and it runs infinitely. So if I turn my metronome on with Control-Shift-M for Windows, the Mac equivalent works as well.
Metronome on.
So we hear metronome on, we press play.
Play.
And we can hear our position.
Bar 3 beat 489%. Bar 5 beat 182%. 0 minutes 10.692 seconds. Stop.
Either in minutes or seconds or bars or beats as we go down the timeline. Along that timeline are laid tracks by which you can compartmentalize your audio. So you can have the drums on one track, the guitar on another track, the vocal on another track, the keyboard on another track, etc. And that allows you to deal with them differently, adjust their volume different, adjust their panning different, put different effects on them, do all kinds of things. Now, you're going to record stuff. This is going to be the focus of the presentation today, is going to be recording. Oh, I should say to the Logic users among you, in Reaper, a track is a track is a track. There's not piano tracks and guitar tracks and vocal tracks and this tracks and that tracks. A track is a track is a track. It can hold anything. And how it does that is usually by means of items, which are containers. They are empty shells waiting to be filled. And they can be filled with either audio data, which you can import or record. So if you've got a track or a sound effect you want to put on, a song or a sound effect you want to put on, you just import that into Reaper. Or you can record audio, or it can hold MIDI data as well, or it can hold video. A single thing that an item contains is called a take, and it is possible to have multiple takes per item, kind of stacked on top of each other, and that's how that works. Now, I wasn't gonna cover MIDI because we have very little time, but I'm conscious that there was one person here exclusively interested in MIDI, and it's that easy to set up. I will just demonstrate it really quick. So you connect your MIDI
excuse
device.
Excuse me, Justin. Hello. Hi. I am the one who asked about MIDI. From there, I need to ask three questions, actually.
First, well, if one, we have time, I'll definitely try and cover them.
Yeah, I'll say them very quickly. First of all, does it support MIDI event view?
Yes.
Okay. Second is Reaper accessible to contact sound libraries?
Ha! It depends on the library. I don't want to get bogged down into too much of a discussion of this. So if you use something called Complete Control,
okay,
you will have some you will have access to the patches, the presets that come available with the contact sample libraries that are available. If you are hoping to use contact to make your own sample libraries, then as of a couple of weeks ago, you were out of luck. However, I have seen traffic on the Reapers Without Peepers list, which is a very useful support for anyone wishing to use Reaper, about an NVDA add-on for contact. I don't know how much extra functionality that provides, but it might be worth looking into. But definitely, people are using Reaper with contact as long as they're using purchased libraries, as long as they are NKS compatible, as long as that accessibility has been built in.
On the Mac, on the Mac.
On the Mac, oh yeah.
It's the same, is it?
Yeah, pretty much, as far as I understand it, because the best way to use contact, the best way to use Native Instruments, anything is through what's called the Complete Control ecosystem.
Yeah, yeah. So, and finally, yep. I think finally, though, does Reaper on the Mac, again, support VST plugins?
Yes, absolutely it does. VSTs, in fact, Reaper comes with its own VSTs. And it does on Mac and on Windows. So basically, what this gentleman's just asked for those who don't understand VSTs, haven't encountered them before, is there's a whole bunch of instruments, whole bunch of musical instruments, whole bunch of effects out there. There's echoes and delays and things to make you sound like a robot and things to give you really washy reverb to make your voices sound lush. And they're all called plugins. They're all extra bits of software that can be plugged into Reaper. And one of the standards by which that can be done is called the VST standard, which Reaper fully supports. So if you buy a plugin, if you own a plugin, if you create a plugin, if you download a plugin and it's a VST plugin, it will work with Reaper. Now, accessibility varies according to the manufacturer, but and that's true for all DAWs. I don't want to, you know, people have seemed very interested in Reaper, and that's great, but Peter was keen that I keep things as generic as possible so they could be applied to other DAWs. That applies to any DAW you can instantiate an effect in. The accessibility varies according to the manufacturer's creation.
And finally, for me, what about on the Mac, Reaper on the Mac again? What about micro-tuning support for Reaper?
That is kind of beyond the scope of this presentation, honestly. It's not something I've really used, but I think the best thing I can say is if you can do it on PC, you can do it on Mac.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. So I am just going to demonstrate for the MIDI musicians very briefly how to get an instrument onto a track and get some sound out of it. So under normal circumstances, you would connect your MIDI device, your MIDI controller, your keyboard, your complete control keyboard, your whatever. And you would make it work by a process that's pretty simple with Reaper preferences, but I'm not going to go into now. But there is a virtual keyboard as well. And there is some very basic instrumentation that comes free with Reaper. So if I double tap, if I hold down control and I double tap insert, equivalent keys on the Mac apply.
Scanning DirectX FX. Dialog. Insert virtual instrument on new track.
It's giving me the opportunity to insert a virtual instrument onto a new track. So I'm going to insert a very basic synthesizer that Reaper comes with called RaySynth. That is the thing about Reaper as compared to other DAWs like Samplitude and Logic. It's lighter on synths and stuff. It doesn't come with as many.
List one list. VST.
So I've pressed enter.
Track three RaySynth.
And I've created a new track, which is armed and ready to record MIDI. So
vocal booth template.
If I press Alt-B, because I don't have my keyboard connected, because I wasn't expecting to do this.
Virtual MIDI keyboard dialog. SD.
The virtual MIDI keyboard comes up. And I need to...
Vocal booth template
solo.
Modified dodge 1/3 muted. Unmuted. Soloed.
Solo this as well. So
virtual MIDI
keyboard up again.
Dialogue. SD.
Etc. Etc. And I'm doing that with the lower row of my QWERTY keyboard. So XCVBN corresponds to notes on the keyboard. You can change the octave. And that's MIDI. A very, very brief introduction to MIDI, but just to prove it can be done and pretty quickly as well.
Three RaySynth solo tom, zero items, one track room.
So before we progress, I just want to summarize what we covered. We have a timeline, which can be divided into a musical grid, so into bars and beats according to your project tempo. That runs along the project. Tracks run along the timeline. Items go on tracks. Takes go in items. Can everybody kind of picture that? Does anybody have any problems, any questions directly pertaining to that? How Reaper looks? No? Cool. Splendid.
1542.
Okay. So now we need to prepare to record. If we want to record some audio, we need to make sure that Reaper is going to record properly. Now, so I could talk to you and do this, I'm actually going to open another instance of Reaper because that's what I'm talking to you through right now.
Host attendees, run dialogue type C.
I run a portable version of Reaper, so Reaper for me is just as easy as running my C drive.
Items view list. Reaper 10 of 50.
Pressing R for Reaper.
Reaper.
Finding the reaper.exe file. This, of course, will differ slightly with the Mac, but will be a similar idea.
Remote.exe. Repack.init. Reaper.exe 30 of 50.
And we press enter, and
scanning
I'll
VST
have another
pigeons.
Version of
dialogue
Reaper.
Path. See, users just
loaded up.
Repack.init 29 of 53.
Now, while I'm waiting for this all to be ready, I'll just reiterate that there is a Reaper mailing list.
Vocal booth template project /2 Reaper.
It's
vocal
there.
One open, two armed, one item, FX, VST.
Now I sound funny. Sounded funny a bit there, because there were two versions of me coming through to you at slightly different intervals, and that was what was causing that phasey sound. So,
1, 2, 0.
If I want to make sure I'm recording from the right place, I press Control P. That loads Reaper's preferences, and it's a huge sprawling tree of every option you could ever want to change, as long as it's global. So I'm going to press Control P.
Reaper Preferences dialog. Tree view. Level 1 device 1 of 9.
Now, the beautiful thing about the Reaper Preferences tree is it remembers where you last were. So it remembers that I was preparing for my presentation in a very orderly way, not at all about 30 minutes before we were due to start. Much earlier than that, I absolutely assure you. And it remembers where I was, and so I can tab through to the audio device settings.
Edit blank. Find button.
Now, Reaper has, well, Windows, and I imagine the same is true on the Mac, has a Windows has a bunch of subsystems, a bunch of different ways that audio devices can talk to each other. The professional one is ASIO. That's what professional audio interfaces, sound cards, and mixers use. But it's restrictive. NVDA doesn't work with ACO. Zoom doesn't work with ACO, which is why I'm not using it now. Now, the reason professionals like ACO so much, I'm not so bothered about it because I'm a sound designer, but the reason musicians in particular like ACO so much is because of something called latency. And what latency is how long does it take for something to be processed? So I talk and I can hear myself back in my headphones. And how long does that take? How long does it take for me to hear myself back? And because I'm using a third-party piece of software, which has nothing to do with Reaper, it's called Virtual Audio Cable, so that you can hear my NVDA and you can hear my Reaper, and I can hear my NVDA and I can hear Reaper. I'm using something called Virtual Audio Cable, which is hideously latent. We're talking like, I'd say, 100 milliseconds or more between when I talk and when I hear myself. It's very annoying. That is difficult for musicians. So the lowest level of latency a musician can have, that's a good thing. And that is regulated by picking your Windows subsystem wisely. But the less latency you go for, the more restrictive that communication protocol is. So if you need to do a lot of different things, that can throw out problems. Also, if you try and push your latency too low by reducing what's called a buffer size, your computer can struggle. It can grind. So picking the right subsystem is a balance between how much can my processor take, how much flexibility do I need, versus how precise do I need to be? How quickly do I need to be able to hear myself back? How much is precision important to the project I'm doing? So we're going to tap through here.
Okay, but cancel dialog, 0 to disable, 0 to disable, samples preferred depth, HZ, if available, latency, 10 ms. Audio system, combo box ways up high, Windows 7/8/10/Vista, collapse.
So I'm using Wasapi in shared mode. That's about the second least latent consumer thing that Windows offers. So I'm doing my best, but Virtual Audio Cable is stabbing me in the back anyway with masses of latency.
Property page, input device, combo box analog connector, audio box.
Now this is the important stuff. The input device. That's the device Reaper's going to listen to hear you talking. I can change my input device here. I can change it to my
microphone, Realtek,
internal microphone on my laptop, and then you'll be able to hear me twice in a minute when I arm this and okay this. And then the output device here.
Output device, combo box line 2, virtual audio cable, collapsed.
that is outputting to a virtual sound card called line 2 virtual audio cable so that you guys can hear me. So that's that. I'm coming out of Reaper. That is the mouth out of which Reaper speaks, if you will. So there's a bunch of other stuff in here pertaining to sample rate and bit depth for those who care about that. But we're going to press enter on this.
Reaper version 6.1 open for 20i.
And I'm going to arm this track. Now, you can have lots of tracks at once. So you need to tell Reaper which tracks you want to record, because you don't want stuff to be recorded over. You've done your bass part, you've done your drum part, you've done your guitar part, or you've imported them from somewhere else, and now you want to record a vocal, but you tell Reaper the wrong thing, or Reaper doesn't know what to do, so you record all over the parts you already have there. You don't want that. So you need to tell it which tracks to care about. You do that by arming them. So I'm going to arm.
Armed.
This track. So it's armed now. That means Reaper's listening to it, but I can't hear it back, which suits me just fine most of the time, because I hate hearing myself back, especially at the kind of latency levels that I deal with. But we're gonna, so we armed with F7, we're gonna monitor now with F8 and listen to the difference in latency between these two sources, these two microphones in these two different instances of Reaper, and also a difference in quality as well. So,
normal.
Now, you can hear me. Here's my laptop. My laptop microphone here. Hello. And here is
not when playing record monitor.
A rather better setup. Now, you know, depending on what you are doing, this goes back to what I was saying earlier. Make the most of your setup. Enjoy it. Cut your teeth on it. Use it. Don't wait until you have the ideal setup to start playing with stuff. So if all you have is a USB headset that costs you about, you know, $12 or whatever, use it. Have fun with it. Yeah, I did volunteer work on a website for a number of years, still do on and off, where they do karaoke events and everyone has a great time and they use low budget stuff. You know, it all depends. The gear you have should be fit for purpose. If your purpose is how to use Reaper, pretty much anything, learning how to use Reaper, pretty much anything will do. If your purpose is to have fun, do some karaoke events, whatever, pretty much anything will do. You know, take part in talent nights, et cetera, et cetera. If your purpose is to sound design, if you want to create sound effects, then pretty much anything will do. Because the great thing about being a sound designer is we are the scrap merchants of the sonic world, of the audio world. Whatever you have, however banged up you think it is, however terrible quality you think it is, we can twist it, bend it, mold it, make it into something else. Now, if you want to produce a Grammy-winning album, then obviously your requirements are going to be somewhat different. And just to let you guys know, I'm using a vocal booth, a portable vocal booth here talking to you. And they are great. I recommend those. If you want to do voiceover work, if you want to do musical work, get yourself a portable vocal booth. My girlfriend got me this one. It's absolutely fantastic, with a pop shield, so you don't hear too many of my plosives when I pop my peas. That would sound a lot worse if this pop shield weren't there. And I'm using a PreSonus audio box, just 2-channel interface, just to take the connectors on my Rode NT4 microphone. And the microphone that I'm using is not ideal. Let's show you why. Let's switch back to the version of Reaper that I'm actually talking through.
Reaper row 1 column, host attendee zoom, vocal booth template.
Here it is.
2 solo, 3 the beat.
Okay. So I'm actually going to change the track width. I have it as a mono track at the moment. The way I do that is simply to highlight the track, press I.
Root pan. Width, edit selected 0%.
Change the width back to 100%, which is its default. And we hear that actually I have a stereo mic here I'm using. And it doesn't actually sound too cool in stereo. But if we
track channels,
put this back
width,
to
edit selected one, selection
0,
removed.
Then everything's back
vocal
in the middle. It sounds as good as I can get it. It sounds good enough for this presentation. So I do think that is really important. Like, don't let your aspirations, whatever you want to achieve, whether it's learning, whatever it is, don't let it get bogged down in, oh my goodness, I can't afford to acoustically treat my whole house, because not many people can on a home budget. Like, do stuff with what you have and the rest will come. So that's really important. So we've picked our input and output devices. Now, to monitor or not to monitor. If you're doing a vocal, you might really want to hear yourself. Monitoring is hearing yourself back. Now, it is absolutely essential in this version of Reaper that I monitor, because if I don't, you won't be able to hear what I'm saying. I'll be talking and talking.
Record monitor off.
Well, I've probably missed something very important that I just said. So obviously, if someone's listening to you through Reaper, monitoring is essential. If you're recording a voiceover, maybe monitoring isn't so important. But I'll tell you why monitoring is always important. Monitoring is always important to check your levels. So you can check the input from the microphone versus the output to your master track. All Reaper's tracks, I should have said this earlier, all Reaper's tracks output to the master track. It's the sum of everything that goes in to Reaper. So we load something called the Peak Watcher by pressing Alt W.
Peak Watcher dialog. First track, combo box not.
It can follow two tracks at once. We want the first track to be the track that I have highlighted, selected. And we want the second track.
Combo box non-collapsed.
To be
master.
The master track.
First track, follow current track.
And then we just press enter.
Vocal booth template modified.
And now I can
0.0 reset.
Reset this. And talk to you.
-28.9, -17.6.
And I hear that on this track.
-13.0, -25.2.
I'm getting up to being about -13 dB. That's how loud I am. But across the master track,
-2.4.
I'm much louder because Reaper is amplifying my stuff. I have an effects chain here, a chain of effects making me, hopefully, sound better, sound louder, sound more forward, sound more consistent.
Two solo toms.
So if I bypass all these effects,
FX bypassed,
then I sound a lot quieter. I sound different.
FX active.
And here I am fully up. So I can hear, I can see by looking at the levels of my currently focused track and looking at them versus the master track, they're where I want them to be. I have a limiter, which makes sure I'm not too loud. So if I want to sing, then we can check that it's getting nowhere near zero.
Reset.
At the track I'm following. And that's the important thing. That's where you don't want what's called clipping, distortion. Clipping, distortion, they're bad. Once you record them, you can't unrecord them. You can't fix them easily without paying a lot of money for custom plugins.
First question, this is Matt. Just wondering, when you activated the Peak Watcher with Alt W, how were you following the levels? Which keystroke did you use?
So how to monitor levels in Reaper is kind of a presentation all by itself because there's a bunch of different ways. To answer your question, Alt F11 and F12 will monitor the currently focused track. Alt-Shift F11 and Alt-Shift F12 will follow the master track. And that's how you get your difference. And Alt F10 and Alt-Shift F10 will reset those values. And this is a great way to get an idea of your noise floor. So I have some effects here taking out the really low rumble in my background. So we can compare my noise floor. So I'm going to reset both my current track and my master track. Let's see what my noise floor. So noise is the bad hiss that you don't want anyone to hear. You want that to be as low as possible, but you want your signal, the meaningful stuff, to be as intelligible as possible. So let's reset both these things.
Reset. Reset. Minus 70.4. Minus 69.4. Minus 67.9. Minus 67.9.
So although there's a big... So the first pair of readings were from the currently focused track, the right and the left channel respectively. The second pair of readings were from the master track after all the effects I've applied. And you could hear there was only a couple of dB difference. Now, I'm pretty happy with that based on the fact that there's a massive difference in the volume of how I'm talking to you, the signal, the meaningful, useful part of this. Well, I hope you're finding it more useful than background noise anyway. There's a massive difference between that on the current track and that on the master track. So let's reset again.
Reset. Reset.
Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled pepper. It's a peck. A Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled pepper. That's how it is, yes.
Minus 21 point, minus 13.6, minus 6.7, minus 6.7.
So whereas the noise floor is only a couple of dB louder on the master track, after all the processes I've used, the my voice is 7 dB louder, which is double as loud. So that's great. So I'm happy with that. And I found all that out just by metering, what's called metering, checking out your levels in Reaper. And that's really important to make sure that you're not recording your stuff too quiet, to make sure that your background noise is as good as it can be, and to make sure, crucially, there's no distortion. And if I'm, you know, if I want to be talking to you quietly and intimately like this, then I, you know, I would use one set of levels. If I want to be booming out a power singing ballad, then I would use probably another set of levels or another set of processes. I'm going for flexibility here because I really don't know what's going to happen. So I have my setup set up like that. So that's all some, you know, quite complicated concepts perhaps, and I don't want to be going too fast. So if anybody has any questions, now would be a great time to ask questions on what we've covered so far, because we are actually going to record some stuff in a minute. But we did all this without recording anything. No wasted hard drive space, no wasted recordings, no clutter. Just by monitoring, just by looking at Reaper, we've done all this before we've even started recording, so that our takes will be as best, as good as possible. So does anybody have any questions?
I've got a question, Justin. Tim Pennick here. The master track is something I find so far the stuff that I've read is a bit of a confusing concept. Is that effectively in the days when you were recording to a tape recorder? Is the master track what the sound that's coming out of Reaper that would have gone onto that tape recorder if you were actually using something like that? Is it actually the sound that's coming out of Reaper after all the effects and everything? Is that what it's for?
Yes, you know that song, "Dem Bones, Dem Bones, Dem Dry Bones." You know that
the thigh bones connected to the whatnot. Yeah,
that is how Reaper works. A take can be adjusted in volume and then have effects applied. That's contained by an item, which can be adjusted in volume. That outputs to a track, which can be adjusted in volume before effects. Then it can have effects applied. Then it can be adjusted after the effects. And then that, along with all the other tracks that are playing, goes to your master track. And if you have a track muted, you can have all the audio on it you want, but it's not going to the master. Monitoring just outputs what this track is hearing when it's armed to the master track. If I mute this track,
two solo tom, zero items.
If I mute this track, you're going, unfortunately, to be unable muted to hear me because, no, because I've got it soloed. Wait there.
Unsoloed. Unmuted.
So solo trumps mute. If you solo something, it means you really want to hear it in isolation, away from anything else. So let's say you got a background, let's say someone drops their pencil, you're doing, you know, some backing vocals, and you can't work out which singer dropped their pencil, so you have to solo singer by singer line part by part to find out where that crash is and what needs to be recorded. You solo things part by part so all the rest of the things disappear. If you have something soloed, then mute will not work. If you have everything unsoloed, so the whole project will play. If you mute something, then it will not be output to the master track. Our monitoring is being output to master track. So now if I mute now, you will unfortunately
muted.
Be unmuted. You'll feel better for that. So any other questions based on any of this?
I've got a question regarding the meter. At least in SoundForge, you can monitor independently the meter on the left-hand side and on the right-hand side by pressing F11 and F12. Is it the same in Reaper when you said that we are using Alt F11 and Alt F12?
Let's let our shortcut help answer that question. So if I press F12, Asara's shortcut help will load.
Shortcut help on.
Now let's press Alt F11.
Osara, report peak watcher value for channel 1 of first track.
Now let's press Alt F12.
Osara, report peak watcher value for channel 2 of first track.
So the answer is yes. You can look at both tracks independently. Both channels, left and right, of the track independently.
Great, thank you.
Any other questions?
Just following up then, Justin, if you're using if you decide that rather than having one track with two channels, that you want to use two tracks instead, two mono tracks, can you do the same thing with your monitoring? Can you monitor two separate tracks at the same time?
So in Reaper, there is no such thing as a mono track. Tracks are always stereo. However, that does not mean that they cannot output mono audio. So remember what I did. Let's do it again. I currently have this track's width, this track's stereo width set to 0. If I put that back out to 100.
Track, view routing and /O for current /last.
Preferably
track.
After turning unknown, the shortcut unavailable. Off, shortcut back- help off. Hey, come on now.
Vocal booth template. Unsaved project. Vocal booth temp. Track. Track. Go to next track. Shortcut help off.
Sorry about that. Don't quite know what happened there. A little gremlin tried to get in our way.
One open fold. Two arm 0.
Pressing I. Tapping pan. To width.
Width. Edit selected 0.
Expanding this back out to 100% stereo width. And there I am in the right channel. So, there are no mono tracks in Reaper. Just the same as there are no piano tracks, there are no guitar tracks.
Track volume faders, so on and so track forth. Channels, combo box, width, edit selected 1.
Now, we have a track channels. You just heard that, so I might as well go into it. There's a track channels box here.
Track channels, combo box 2 collapsed.
Minimum 4. Is 2.
2.
But with you can have edit. More. You can have up to 64.
Selection
if you want.
Removed.
So hopefully that answers your question.
Vocal booth temp.
Don't you have to set what tracks you want it to follow first before alt left 11 or 12, or does it just kind of automatically do that stuff already? Because I thought you had to set it first.
No, you do have to set it first. You have to tell the peak watcher exactly how to behave. You can simultaneously monitor up to 2 tracks. And I did whiz through that, but perhaps I whizzed through it a little bit fast. When we press Alt W to bring up the peak watcher dialogue.
Peak watcher dialogue. First track. Combo box follow current track collapsed.
We have our options for our first track. What track do we want? The first of the 2 tracks that Peak Watcher can monitor, what do we want that to be? And I have it set to follow current track. And then we tab for the second track.
Second track, combo box master collapsed.
And we have it set to follow the master. We could, if we really wanted to, set that to follow current track as well. Or we could set it to follow a particular track. and as many options will appear in this combo box as you have tracks in your project. So that's dynamically filled.
Vocal booth.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Yeah, a question I've got, Justin. If I've only got at the minute, I haven't got any kind of mixer or anything like that. I've only literally got my Mac and a USB headset. Would that still get me? Obviously, I understand it would probably depend on what I wanted to do. But would that still get me a decent sounding, say, vocal track if I used a backing track or something like that?
I'm not trying to be difficult, but define a decent sound. Like I say, if you're going for a Grammy Award-winning album, then a USB headset is probably not what you want. You probably want something a bit better than that. But Reaper, and I think it's time we demonstrated this now. I think this segues very well into what we're going to do next. Reaper is a multi-track environment. So what that means is you could put your vocal on one track and your backing track on another track. And if you have only one track armed, it's going to record from your input device that we set up earlier via Reaper Preferences. And it's going to output to your headphones. So you're going to be able to do this. Let's do it. So I have
one open fold, two armed.
I have actually what's called a master bus. So those who are familiar with mixers and group faders, I have all my stuff routed through a group fader before it gets to the master bus. Don't worry about that. You don't need to do that. It's just how I choose to work. So I have my vocal track, which you can hear.
Three The Beatles with a little help from my friends. Instrumental version.
And we have without a Beatles because I love Beatles.
All tracks unsoloed.
So all tracks unsoloed with Alt F6. Let's play a bit of this.
Play. Stop.
Let's turn the metronome off because it's completely the wrong BPM for this song. With Control Shift M.
Metronome off. Play.
And you can still hear me. So Reaper is mixing what it can hear. And we can turn this Beatles stuff down.
Three The Beatles with an.
With Alt Shift Cursor down, turns it down 1 dB increments.
Minus 29.00.
And now it's a background bed for me. It's if I'm, you know, it's as if I'm talking over some background music. So we can set the level of our backing track to how we want to hear it. We can also set the level of ourselves, if we must monitor, how loud do we want that to be in our headphones. And then we can record. So I think it's safe to say we probably want the Beatles a bit louder than this if I want to sing over them.
Minus 17.00. Minus 13, track minus. Minus 12, track minus. Stop.
That'll do. And now I can turn up my hardware volume a little bit. So everything is louder in my headphones. You could do that on a Mac. You could do that on the cheapest possible machine. You can just turn up your system volume and everything will get louder in proportion, but you can adjust tracks relative to one another.
Two arm zero three.
And now let's do a bit of recording. So we're armed, we're monitored. All we need to do to record is press R.
Record. 2 on 0 item.
What would you do if I sang out a tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears, and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try to sing out of key. Oh, I get by with a little help from my friends. Going to try with a little help from my friends. Get by with a little help from my friends.
Select files to save or delete. Dialog prompt to save / delete / rename new files. Save all button.
Okay, there's two ways to stop recording. You can either stop it just by pressing R, or you can stop it by pressing space. I prefer stopping it by pressing space because when you do that, you have the option to rename your file. So the file we just recorded, this is what it's called.
Rename select, delete selected, rename. Files recorded grouping 0 to 210,217,1612.flac.
There, a nice memorable name. Yeah? You'll come back to that in 6 months' time and you'll know exactly what that was for. Let's not do that and say we did.
On stop checkbox, on punch out, save all but rename, delete,
and
rename.
Click the rename selected button.
Pressed.
And it'll come up with a rename dialog, which sometimes
choose new file name.
There, I'll choose new file name, and we'll call it with a little help spoken.
Select files to save all button. Vocal booth template.
And we click enter on the rename thing, and we click shift tab, and we click save all, and here we go.
One open folder, two and one item, FX, VST, Rear EQ, Cocos, VST.
Now it's telling us track two is armed and there is one item on it. Remember we talked about items? They are containers for our media, our recorded media. Let's listen back to what we recorded.
Play.
What would you do if I sang out a tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears, and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out a key.
Stop.
So there we have it. There is something recorded, which we can now add effects to. We can edit. Now, there is, if we solo Salute. This, there is stuff at the beginning of this track.
Play.
Useless stuff, because I'm not singing.
-53.9, -77.4.
That's background noise. We don't what necessarily... would you do?
Stop.
Thank you. We don't necessarily want that. We might want to hear... We might want to get enough to orientate ourselves, but we might not want the recording to start until right at the beginning of the piece.
One with a little helps, one item removed.
So we're going to delete that item. Very simple. Now, really important thing to understand, I've just deleted the item off this track. It has not deleted the file that we recorded. That is still there. That is kept for posterity, for all my adoring fans to bid for and buy. It's still there on the hard drive. But it has been taken away from our project, and this is the beauty of non-destructive editing. This is the beauty of how hard it is to break stuff in Reaper. It is kind of a cut above the likes of Gulpwave and SoundForge in that regard, in that it's far harder to break things. So let's make something else.
Play. Stop.
Unsolo all our
tracks. Unsolo all our tracks. Play.
Now, I want it to start right when the vocal is due to start.
Pause.
So I paused it. I'm going to scrub back to the beginning of that chunk.
Play. Stop.
So I'm just cursor lefting and cursor righting now to get myself exactly positioned.
Play. Stop. Play. Stop.
There we go. That'll do. But what if my power goes again and I can't return to this until tomorrow? And I don't have perfect pitch. And if I press record now, I'm going to be expected to start singing right on time, right at the right speed, right at the right key. So what we have is the option to do what's called pre-roll or count-in. Now, because I don't know the BPM of this particular tune, we're not going to use count-in, which is dependent upon the speed of the metronome, but we are going to use pre-roll, which winds back a little bit so I can get my bearings. So the cursor is not going to move. I am not going to move this cursor. It's going to stay right here.
Play, stop, play, stop, play, stop.
It's going to stay there. But I am going to press Alt-Shift-M.
Metronome and pre-roll settings dialog, primary beat volume.
Which is going to take us to the metronome and pre-roll settings dialog. And I am going to tab through here and mess about.
Run metronome during playback checkbox checked.
I definitely don't want the metronome on.
Count in before playback checkbox not checked. Run metronome during count in before record. Count in measures. Start counting at.
So this is all to do with the count in, as you can hear.
Metronome primer. Metronome second.
Pre-roll stuff.
Beat. Metronome sound group. Browse. Second. Browse. Frequent. HZ. Beat click. MS. Pre-roll. Pre-roll before. Pre-roll before playback checkbox not checked.
We don't want pre-roll before playback.
Pre-roll before recording checkbox checked.
But we do want pre-roll before record. And I was messing about with this earlier, so it's already been checked. You can check this with MBDA Numpad Enter or its Jaws equivalent, because if you press spacebar,
play, stop,
even from within this dialog, it's going to start playing. So the box is checked with MBDA Numpad Enter or its Jaws equivalent. You're going to press tab once.
Start pre-roll at start of measure checkbox checked. Pre-roll measures, edit selected two.
Tab again. We've got two measures of pre-roll. I'm not sure we really need two measures, two bars, that means. So let's press, let's go for one measure. So
selection one. Removed.
Now,
vocal booth temp.
I'm going to press record.
Record.
What would you do if I sang out a tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out of key.
Select files to save.
So we'll name that.
On stock checkbox, on punch outs, on files record, zero, on save all but, rename selected, pressed.
Rename.
Choose could new just press file R, name.
But, you know,
help, selection
with a little help first. Verse.
Select files to save all button. Vocal booth template.
I'm going to press play. What would you do if I sang out a tune?
Stop.
Now you can hear that I'm not in time, not in tune, I'm not in anything. But I think it's a good impression of Ringo Starr, so there you go. I'm not in time because of the latency. How would we fix that? All we need to do is just move this back a bit until it's in time.
One with a little help first.
So I select the item, and I just nudge it back a bit. Go bar back bar for some context.
Play. Stop.
There we are. Nudge it back a bit, pressing the comma key.
Move item slash envelope points left. Play.
What would it...
Stop. Move item
still
slash envelope...
Back.
Play.
What would you do if I sang out a tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll...
Stop.
Perhaps a little ahead of the beat.
Move item slash envelope. Play.
What would you do if I sang out a tune?
Stop.
Well, it's not meant to be Abbey Road. But you get the idea of how you can compensate for a bad setup with the various facilities that Reaper provides. Now, you can also do count-ins. And the way you do count-ins is you need to establish a tempo. So we're going to get rid of the Beatles. Bye-bye, Beatles.
One, the Beatles with a little help from my friends. In three items, select three items removed.
Delete that.
One with a little help
delete
first.
This.
One item removed. Bar one beat.
And we're going to try. I'm going to sing a bit of a cappella stuff now because you're loving my singing and I'm loving my singing. So why not? The first thing I want to do is establish a tempo. I'm going to do this from my head. So I'm just going to tap the H key in the speed of the tempo I'm looking for, and I'll move my keyboard as close to the mic as the vocal booth would allow and bang it hard, and hopefully you'll be able to hear it. Here we go. There we go. Turn the metronome on, see how this sounds.
Metronome on. Play. Stop.
There we go. Now I want to count in. So I go back to my metronome dialog, Alt-Shift-M.
Metronome and pre-roll settings dialog, primary beat volume, -12.0 dB/s, run metronome, count, run metronome, count in before playback checkbox, count in before recording checkbox not
count
checked.
In before recording. I'm going to check that.
Check. Count in measures, edit selected two.
Two measures, that'll do.
Vocal booth template.
And we're just going to press record. Now I'm going to just press record. Now I really don't want to hear myself, and that's going to mess me up, and that's partly why I don't sound good. But that's why you musicians should probably get a less latent system.
Record.
Had a little nut tree, nothing would it bear, but a silver nutmeg and a golden pear. The King of Spain's daughter came to visit me, and all for the sake of my little nut tree.
Play. Stop.
So I've just pressed R, so we don't have to go through that rename stuff. You get the idea of that. So now I press play. Nothing would it bear.
Stop.
So actually I missed the start off, and that again is because of my latency. So latency is bad. That's what this is teaching, is that latency is bad. Nothing would it bear.
Stop.
So that's not so good. But at least you get the idea that it starts. So we are right at the beginning of the project right now.
Bar 1 beat 10%.
And it starts metronome straight off. Away.
Play.
Nothing would it bear but a silver nutmeg and a golden pear.
Stop.
So what if we want to go back
102
to our Beatles thing, and we want to just record in, say, the choruses, or if we want to record the backing vocals for the second verse.
One item removed.
So we're going to remove this, and we're going to create a new track by pressing Control T.
Track name edit.
And pain. Pressing Enter. That's how you add a track to your project.
2 arms 30.
And I'm going to type.
Menu. Edit blank. Menu. Menu.
That was a pretty little tune.
The Beatles with a little documents. The Beatles with.
I found it with a little help from just by pressing Windows key, typing in the title. It's come up in my searches. I'm going to right click it with Shift F10.
Context menu, properties, explore, create, copy, cut, send to sub, copy C.
I'm going to click copy.
Unknown. Vocal booth template mod. 2 arms 30 items.
I'm just going to paste this in.
One
just
item
so
added.
You know, your keyboard does have an applications key.
Yeah, but for those who don't, Shift F10 works for everyone.
Oh, so, true enough. Yeah. Okay.
So it's kind of more universally usable. So we're going to turn this backing track down again.
-10.0, -12.0.
Although that is a good point. There is some functionality in Reaper which you need an applications key for. Now, Asara does provide a workaround for this, which I don't really have time to go into, but there is an Asara action that will allow you to map an applications key so that you can use the functionality that requires it. But out the box, there's certain stuff that will only work with the applications key, not just Shift F10. So that's a good side note in actual fact. So,
play.
Let's turn this down some more.
-12.45. -12.2 arms 0 3 The Beatles. -12.9. -20. -18.90.
So let's find the second verse. Now I only want the second verse to be recorded.
Pause.
I'm going to scrub back.
Play. Stop.
And I'm going to leave a bit more of a lead in than I did with my counting, so that the latency and my computer grinding doesn't kill the beginning of my line.
Play. Stop.
And I'll do. I'm going to start a time selection here.
Set selection. Stop. Play.
Okay. So we'll stop there and we'll end our time selection with the right square bracket. So left square bracket drops the start, right square bracket drops the end.
Set selection end.
And if I press home, it's going to go back to the beginning of the time selection.
Play. Stop.
And we're going to do something called time selection auto punch, which means that my recording is only going to put an item where my time selection is. So I have plenty of time to get myself situated, but I won't hear anything before my time selection begins. So,
2 arm 0 items.
We highlight track 2. We press Alt O.
Record mode. Record mode. Time selection auto puncher. Vocal booth template.
And we go cursor down once to time selection auto punch, and that means this is going to punch in when the time selection begins and stop when it stops. So here we go.
Bar 12.
Couple of bars back. Press record.
Metronome on. Metronome off.
Just make sure the metronome's off.
Record.
Do you believe in a love at first sight? What do you see when you turn out the light? Now, this bit will record, but I'm not interested in it. Don't care. So it's fine for me to talk. I can edit it out later. Do you need anybody? Could it be anybody?
Play. Stop.
And that's enough of that. So if we press play now.
Play.
All that nonsense that I was doing before I kick in, it's not there.
Do you believe in a love at first sight?
Now it's gloriously out of time, of course, because of the latency.
What do you see when you turn out the light?
Pause.
Now let's delete this middle bit.
2 arm 1 item, 1 item, 1 item, play.
Now, this bit will record, but I'm not interested in it. Don't care. So it's fine for me to talk and edit it out later.
Pause.
So what I'm going to do...
Play. Pause.
Let's not crash my breath. I've created a split...
One item selected.
Either side...
One item added.
...of the bit that I don't want in the items, in the containers.
202,210,200...
Now there are 3 items on this track.
2 arm 3 items. Effect.
I'm going to delete the middle one.
Ripple all tracks. Ripple off.
I'm going to do it in such a way that the timing's preserved.
1 track removed. Zoom meeting. Vocal booth temp. 1 open fold. 2 arm 2 items. FX.
There we
VST.
Go. Don't.
1 2 arm 2 items. FX. VST. Rear EQ. Cock.
I know how that happened.
FX bypassed. FX active. 202 play.
Now, this bit will record.
Stop. 1 open folder. 0 items. F. 2 arm.
Okay.
Undo toggle track FX. Vocal yeah. Cleared time slash loop selection. 1 0 2 play.
Do you believe in a love at first sight? What do you...
202,210,217,1,602 stop.
So I deleted the wrong item. Don't actually know what went wrong here, but something certainly did.
FX bypassed. FX active.
But you can edit your recording this way. So you can, you see, like you select, let's say you're just doing a backing vocal for a piece. And all you need to do is set the time selection for the backing vocal that you're going to do. And you don't need to worry about the rest of the piece. You don't need to have record pressed all the time. You don't need to worry about any background noises that might happen. You can also redo stuff, which is pretty nifty. So the decision, the version of this that I like to do quite a lot.
1022202 items room. Bar one is, beat 1 0 3 the Beatles with a little one the Beatles one
item. I like to do a talking thing.
2 0 item.
So we're gonna put the metronome on.
Metronome on.
And we've got a 2 measure count in. And I'm gonna slow it down, actually, the metronome. So we have this.
Play. Stop.
Let's record this.
Record.
One, two, three, four.
Play. 1 0, stop. Play. One take reversed. Stop.
Oh, wow. It's not a recording.
1022.
Does anybody have any questions about what I've done so far while I get my stuff to behave itself?
All armed.
I have one quick question, Justin. You a while back you not scrubbed where you can actually you could actually hear. Did you do that with a control surface, or can you do that with keystrokes?
Soloed. Unarmed. Armed. Normal.
You can do it with keystrokes. You can do it with cursor left and cursor right. Let me demonstrate that.
One open fold. Two solo time. 1022200. Play. -76.3.
So I don't know why that didn't stop. Record.
1022. One item removed.
Ah, maybe it's because pre-roll was on. Let's turn pre-roll off. That could have been the problem, is I had counting and pre-roll on. So let's turn pre-roll
metronome
off.
And pre- counting before. Counting. Start. Metro. Metro. Beat. Metro. Sec. Brown. Free. H. Beat. Click. MS. Pre-roll. 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 Pre-roll before recording checkbox. Untick. Not check.
So turn that off. Keep the counting on.
Vocal booth template. One open.
I'm guessing there is some kind of undo. Is that Control and Z?
There is Control Z, and Control Shift Z will undo and redo. There's also an undo history that you can view, which is pretty nifty. So let's try this again.
Record.
One, two, three, four.
Play. Stop. 1 0 2. Play.
One, two, three, four.
Stop.
Let's do it again. So I'm just going back. I'm not creating any new tracks. Not doing any new anything.
Record mode.
Going to put the record mode make back to normal.
Record mode. Time selection auto. Record mode. Normal R. Vocal booth template.
And I'm just going to record again.
Record.
One, two, three, four.
Play. Stop. 1 0 2 200.
So now we have one, two, three, four.
Stop.
I don't know what happened to my effects chain. That's broke. That's because I deleted the track and reinstantiated it. Don't quite know why that broke, but never mind. Let's do it one more time.
Record.
One, two, three, four.
Select files to save audio.
Okay. Now, check it out. All three of those. So here we have on this track.
2 solo time, 3 items, FX. 2 0 2 3 0 2 0 3 0 2 items, bar, play.
1 2 3 4.
Stop.
We had 3 items on the track. That's just because I pressed stop at different times. So the scraggly bits at the end were different lengths, so it needed to have 3 items on. So now we have 1 item on this track.
2 solo timed, 1 item, FX.
But if we select this item.
1 0 2 210 1,217 1,646.flak 3 takes.
We hear it has 3 takes. So everything is still there.
Play.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Stop. 1 0 2. Play.
1, two, three, four.
Stop.
Play. One, two, three, four.
Stop.
So this is a really easy way for me to demonstrate to you that it's possible to record something and pick the bits you like the best in different places. So let's demonstrate the scrubbing thing first.
Two solo top.
Just by pressing cursor right, just by holding it down. You hear it in slow motion and you'd hear it backwards at that speed if you pressed cursor left. So what I can do is I can have three takes in different accents. So we have one item at the moment just by creating splits and picking a different active take for each item. So we'll have the first one be...
One. Stop.
Yeah, we'll have the first one be that one. And we'll just split
one item selected.
The item here.
One item added.
By pressing A. And
Roy Warner has left the meeting alert. 302. Play.
Two, three.
Stop.
Play. Two, three.
Pause.
Scrub back.
Play.
Three, four.
Stop. Play.
Three.
Stop. Play.
Three.
Stop. One item selected.
Split.
One item added. 302.10.2200 and.
So now I have three different accents. Play. One, two, three, four.
Stop.
And you can hear that one of my takes is a bit wrong where I split it.
1022.
But I can fix even that. I can bring even that back.
2022.302. Play.
Three.
Stop.
So all I need to do is just
media item
move the starting source time for this take forward a bit.
Curve. Snap. Item. Item
by going
mix
to
behavior.
The item properties dialog, access by pressing Shift F2.
Active take, loop source check, mute, lock check, no autofade, play all takes, take properties grouping, take name, start in source, edit selected 0:01.381.
So where do I want this take to start playing in the source media? At the moment, it's 0.381 seconds. Let's try 0.395.
0.18.
And just press Vocal enter. Boot. Play. One, two, three, four.
Stop.
So a lot, lot
302.200. Item active loops or mute checkbox. No auto play all takes check. Take properties grouping. Take name. Start in source. Edit selected 0:01.395.
So
blank 5, 9, 3.
Let's try 450.
Vocal booth temp.
Play. One, two, three, four.
Stop.
Better. Not completely there, but better. So we can shift everything around with maximum flexibility. So let's say you're a vocalist and you're singing about, I don't know, the blood of the lamb. Sometimes you sing blood of the lamb. Sometimes you might sing blood of the lamb. Yeah, that's exaggerating it, but you might drag out different syllables differently. So if blood in one take was out of tune and you needed to split it and get a better one, and you said it slightly differently, you phrased it slightly differently, we can reorder this such that it will produce the effect that we want. And so that, I think, wraps up quite neatly the different recording opportunities that Reaper presents for you. I didn't quite get the opportunity to demonstrate auto punch selected items, but I could definitely do that in another presentation if that was desired. I think I would need a less latent setup. I think what I would do is I would perhaps record a little bit on that and play it as a recorded segment at the start of the next presentation. But, you know, to review what we've covered and what we've been able to do is multi-track recording, so recording against a backing track, but there could be as many other tracks as you wanted, as many harmony parts as you wanted. We've covered selection of input and output devices. We've covered the limitations of equipment and how you shouldn't let that bother you. We've covered basic editing in Reaper, not to the extent that perhaps you'd know how to do it if I told you to do it right now, but you can see how it can be done and the extent to which you can manipulate things. And we've covered sort of multi-take audio, picking the best performance. Okay, I sang verse one great, but verse two not so well. So let's have verse one of this take and verse two of that take. And it's all really easy to stack up. So do you have any questions to round this up with?
Justin, yeah. I just wanted to ask a quick question. It's a very general one because you didn't cover it with the installation of the Reaper software and the Asaro and SWS. If there's an update, is it possible to install the update and still keeping the Asaro and the SWS that you install? Or do you have to do it all again? You know, put all three components.
That is an excellent question. If you install a Reaper or an SWS update, your Asaro configuration will be exactly preserved. Your SWS will be exactly preserved. If you go all the way, as I am going to do, from Reaper 6.18 to Reaper 6.24, I think it is now, or maybe even 2.5, I'm a little behind, all my settings will be preserved. There is one difference. Asaro comes with a default key map. From time to time, that key map undergoes large updates to try and make it easier for new people to learn. So we're trying to introduce a system where, for example, Alt is mostly to do with track functionality, Control is mostly to do with item functionality. Adding the Shift key means you're affecting the master track. So we're trying to make things as mnemonic as possible. If you've created your own shortcut keys, but you want to benefit from any changes made to the Asaro keymap, you will have to install the new Asaro keymap and you will probably lose the changes you've made. So make a note of the changes that you've made to your own setup so that you can re-implement them after you've imported the Asaro keymap. So the Asaro keymap's a bit fiddly, but I do recommend sticking with it because it does give a standard basis from which people can offer you support. It's just a good thing to do, but it can be a bit fiddly if there's a major update. That said, there just was a major Asaro keymap update. It is unlikely there will be another one for at least a year or two. So you're good and can install new versions of Asaro without hassle. They won't affect your Reaper and SWS configurations. And Asaro will ask you each time you install it if you wish to install the keymap that comes with it.
Eric Schmidt has default, left the meeting checked, alert.
But you can uncheck it.
I've got a question regarding deleting. You said that deleting in Reaper was kind of non-destructive editing or something like this, but let's say you want to record something, so you want to have a bar or two bars of introduction, let's say, but in the final mix you want to get rid of them. When I say bars of introduction, I mean I refer to empty bars, you know, where you hear the click or something like that. Is it possible to delete those bars actually, or how do you get rid of the silence itself? Thanks.
You could either move the timelines. You could either move all the items back so that they filled that empty space. Or you could just delete the empty space by creating a time selection and deleting it. And pretty much anything in Reaper that you delete, you can also get back. So either you literally can either bring the mountain to Muhammad or have Muhammad go to the mountain. You can either move the items or you can delete a segment of the timeline. Does that make sense?
Someone, but where is that non-destructive thing then?
Well, it's always non-destructive because you can always undo it. Let's demonstrate. So
one open folder, zero, two solo time, three.
Let me
Tony create Stockman a two-bar time selection. Alert. Set selection, bar three. Set selection end.
So I've just created a two-bar time selection. I am now going to
media file.
Insert an empty space at that time selection.
New media item, empty item, SMPT, click source C, new subproject, click new media file, empty space at time selection, control, vocal booth template.
So now,
bar one,
gonna press play.
Play.
Sorry, it's a time selection, so that's why it stopped, because it stops at the end of the time selection.
Play.
So I just removed the time selection. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Stop.
So now my thing starts at bar 3, not at bar 2. Let's decide we don't like that anymore. Go back to the beginning of the project.
Set selection.
Time selection start, left square bracket.
Bar 3.
Beginning of bar 3.
Set selection,
selection end. With right square bracket, press delete.
Contents of time selection removed. Bar 1.
Now I press play. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Stop.
But that is non-destructive in the sense that I can always reverse that change without even pressing undo. If I delete the first two items in this nonsense, I can get them back because I can just say, hey, I actually want this container to be bigger. To encompass earlier parts of that source media again. Anything you delete in Reaper pretty much can be got back. Does that explain it more fully?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, any more questions?
Justin, a basic question. How do you name or rename a track?
F2. That's more of that mnemonic stuff. Focus the tracks with your up and down cursor key. Press F2. We've kept it to F2 because that matches. I'm not sure what it is in the Mac, but F2 is a renaming convention in Windows. So yeah, that's how that works. Any more questions?
Is there a list of these commands somewhere?
So there is a number of things you can do. Let's say you want to know how to select all the items on your selected track. Now, Control A in Windows is a select all function. So you could try different combinations involving the letter A with your shortcut help. So let's turn on shortcut help.
Shortcut help on.
Control A.
Select all items slash tracks slash envelope points. Depending on focus.
So whatever you last focused, be it a track, be it an item, whatever, when you press Control A, it'll select all of those in your project. Okay, that's not what we're looking for. Let's try Control Shift A.
Item, select all items in current time selection.
Select all items in current time selection. That's not quite what we were looking for. We were looking for selecting all the items on a track. Let's try Control Alt A.
Item, select all items in track.
There it is. I knew it was somewhere. So that's one way you can do it.
Shortcut help off.
But you can also press F4, which loads an actions list.
Actions dialog filter. Edit blank.
And this loads all the actions that it is possible for your version of Reaper to perform. And we could type select items.
Select items.
Selected track. And we could press cursor down and we'll see a list of search results that fit that that filter.
List one list. Alt plus shift plus a description item. Select all items on selected tracks in current time selection 1 of 65.
So that's another one.
Description SWS slash AW. Shift plus U. Description description SW.
And there's loads of them. 65 of them. But let's say you just want to look at a list.
Vocal booth template.
Let's say you do literally just want to look at all the shortcuts in Reaper. I can't remember exactly how you do it. Let's refresh my memory.
Shortcut help on.
Is it F1? Don't think so. Is it Control F1?
Help about Reaper. Help mouse modifier keys and action shortcuts.
There you go. Shift F1, mouse modifier keys, and Reaper keyboard shortcuts. Shift F1 will give you a full list. I have never usefully browsed that, honestly, but it is divided into sections. You could do it that way. You can also, by the way, do a shortcut search from the actions list. So if you want to see if, I don't know, Alt-Shift-V is mapped to something, you could either use the shortcut help, or you could go to the actions list and
show action list.
Click
shortcut help up. Actions dialog. Close button. Clear button. Find shortcut button.
Find shortcut button. Click that. Enter your shortcut, and it'll find action, the action bound to it. Any other questions?
Can I ask about Scrub? Are there conditions in which it works or doesn't work? I can't make it work, and I don't know whether that's because I'm not focused on an item, but on a track, or I've just can't make it work, basically.
So it may be that the audio you're dealing with is too low Jack's when slowed down left. To here, so that could be it. It may be that your Reaper is set up such that you need to have the particular track focused on with the item containing the item on which you're scrubbing. So if you're pressing cursor right and you're on track 62 and the item that you want to be scrubbing through is on track 2, then you might not hear it. Reaper will either scrub through the whole project, so you'll hear everything at once on every track, or it will only scrub through the last selected item or the last selected track. I forget which it is. So that's a setting to troubleshoot. There is also the issue that by default, and this may have been changed, but by default, Asara will report the cursor position as you scrub, and that could be rather intrusive, rabbiting about bars, beats, and percents, or minutes and seconds and things. That can be changed, as can a number of other verbosity settings from the Asara configuration dialog, which can be accessed by pressing Control F12. Can have a faff in there and see what you might want to change the better for your workflow. I think we have time for one more question. Anyone got another question?
I have a question about SWS installation. Okay. I went to the wiki page and I followed the directions for installing it on my Mac, but I guess I didn't because it doesn't appear. I don't have an extensions menu item, and that's what I was told that I would have if I installed it correctly. So is there, should I continue to follow the instructions in the wiki page?
Yes.
Or should I?
Yes. Follow the instructions on the wiki page. Make sure, now I can't remember, it's been so long since I installed it because SWS updates very slowly. Make sure if there are 32 and 64-bit versions for Windows that you have the right ones installed, that you're installing the right one for Mac. Make sure that you're installing it into the right place. So if you have a portable version of Reaper, you're going to need to tell it to install where that version of Reaper is installed. And like I said, I went over earlier how to check it's installed from within Reaper. So make sure it's installed in the right place. Make sure all the components are checked. That's pretty much all you can do. Okay, well, thank you ever so much, everyone, for coming. I really hope you found this valuable. I really hope to do another one. If you guys are curious what on earth sound design is, hit me up. Peter, feel free to share my email address with anyone that wants it. If you're interested in tuition, let me know. I do accept donations as well. That really helps with my kind of learning how to use stuff so I can teach you guys and just basically kind of keeping things glued together. So if this has been of help to you and you would like to make a donation, you can do that via paypal.me/jmacleod. I have a stupid last name. It's spelled MACLEOD. That's paypal.me/jmacleod. If you're not able to do that or you'd rather not, that's absolutely fine. But I would very much value feedback on this presentation. Let me know what you think of it, how you've used it, what you'd like to know in a future one, and how I can better help you guys, because I do love to teach and do this kind of thing. It's been a lot of fun. Peter, thank you ever so much for inviting me.
Thank you, Justin. I want to say a huge thank you. That was a terrific presentation. Really, really informative and also entertaining. It was good fun. And we'll definitely invite you back, no question. So many, many thanks. Zoom doesn't work for applauding, but I'm going to applaud on behalf of everybody. Thanks very much, Justin. It's great.